Luke 16 tonight, I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture, and I want to deal with the other side of this text. In fact, I'm preaching on the other side. So I want to preach on the other side. We hear Luke 16, and this passage I'm going to read, I preached it dozens of times, different ways, different parts and portions of Luke 16. And I don't know that I've ever dealt in an entirety of a message with what we want to look at this evening. I'll show that to you here in just a moment. If you're willing and able to stand, let's read these verses. And just the reading of them will be important. And I'm going to try my best. It's 6:29. I'm going to try my best to be done at 7 or sometime after. Okay? Luke 16, verse number 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Let me just pause right there and say we're all going to die one day. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Death's coming to everybody. Care how much or how little money you got in the bank. I don't care what connections you have or don't have. The fact is, everybody's going to die one of these days. And this passage teaches us that. It doesn't matter, amen, it doesn't matter what side the tracks you're from. It doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. Everybody's going to die one of these days. So you better get ready before death comes your way. The Bible said, and in hell, the rich man that is, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Nobody in hell right now wants anybody else to go there. Amen. Amen. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We hear a lot of preaching from this text about the rich man and the torments in this place called hell. There's no doubt in my mind that the reason Jesus gave this story, and by the way, it is a real account of 2 different men who lived 2 different lives. It went into 2 different eternities. These men really lived. They really breathed God's air. They really lived on God's earth. They were men who really were in human history. This is not a parable. This is not a figment of the Lord's imagination. This is not an illustration that the Lord is just pulling out of thin air. These are 2 real, literally, at one time, literally living men that are very much alive in eternity right now, all these years later.
We use this text many times to preach on hell and the torment side of eternity and the rich man and how he should have got saved and he could have been saved, but he rejected the grace of God. He knew about faith. He knew about Abraham. He knew about repentance. He knew about the fact that others that were sinners would go to this very place. And there's been a lot of messages we preached on that, but I want to deal tonight with Lazarus. I want to deal with the eternity that we find magnified. And in short order, I would agree tonight if you said, Pastor, there's not much said about it, but I would remind you there is some said about Lazarus and him being in eternity and the other side of this story. The Lord to help us tonight, I want to preach on that, just simply the other side. The other side. You can be seated this evening. We think about this text this evening, and of course we understand there's a certain rich man. His name is not given. We don't know his address. We don't know all the wealth, but we are told that this man fared sumptuously every day. He gained more and more, and he lived a luxurious life. In fact, in the conversation that he would have with Abraham from him being on hell's side, speaking back over into paradise known as Abraham's bosom, Abraham recalls to the rich man that in his lifetime, Abraham said, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. And so this man lived a life that all of us would maybe only be able to dream about attaining to as far as earthly and material things go. And he had things, my friend, that maybe some of us would dream about have had. He either had it or could have had it at the snap of his fingers and the writing of a check or a trip to the bank or a trip to the safe. He could have very easily had things that men only dream about attaining to. But this man went to this awful place called hell, for he was not prepared and saved by the grace of God. And so this man enters into eternity in this place that is called hell. Now this evening we're considering the fact that there is another side to this story. Lazarus in his life, he was a beggar man. He was a man of very modest to no means at all in life. In fact, again, Abraham, in speaking to the rich man, he reminded him not only that he had received his good things in his lifetime, but he reminded him that Lazarus had received evil things. That simply means that the life that Lazarus lived, it was lived in hardship, that it was lived, my friend, maybe with heartbreak. Bad things seemed to follow him in his life. Every time he turned around, there was more bad news. I don't know what all that would have represented or even meant. I don't know what it is that reduced him to being a beggar and a poor man and a man that my friend longed to have just the crumbs that would fall from a wealthy man's table. But it seems to be indicated from Abraham's testimony that Brother Larry, this man had evil times and bad times that seemed to always set him back. He never could get ahead of the curve. It seemed like as the years went on, that things just got worse and worse and worse. And somewhere in his life, in the midst of all of that, this man, Lazarus, evidently had bowed his knee, repented of his sin, and called on God for salvation. When the Bible said this man died, this beggar, he died. The Bible said he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And so he went what in that dispensation of time would have been paradise in the very heart of the earth. And we understand tonight the other side for Lazarus would have been Abraham's bosom. And there in the heart of the earth, there's a great gulf fixed between the torment of the lost souls, those that have been damned for eternity and had rejected the grace of God. And then on the other side was Abraham and the Old Testament saints that, my friend, were there in a place called paradise. Amen. On one side is pain. On the other side is paradise. On one side is torment. On the other side is triumph. On one side, there are victims to the wrath of Almighty God. And on the other side is folk that are able to sing, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And so when we come to this text, and the point of it is, again, and Christ is giving it to emphasize that there is a place called hell, a place of torment, a place of pain, a place of agony, and a place, as a sinner, you don't want to go. But the other side of this parable is simply this. If there is a hell, thank God there is a heaven. Amen. If there is that side, thank God there's the other side. And I'm glad, thank God, I'm saved. That, amen, my sins have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I testified again this morning and never get tired of testifying about, and as a 17-year-old lost preacher's kid, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus came by my way and saved me by His amazing, glorious grace. My life has been changed. I'm telling you, there's been a lot of evil days. There's been a lot of hardships. There's been a lot of setbacks. And I'm not going to complain today. Evidently, I ain't had it as bad as Lazarus, because I ain't had to beg for food today. Amen. We had friends, thank God, that brought it, and we didn't even have to ask for it. Somebody say amen. Amen. I ain't had it as bad as Lazarus had it in his life. But let's be honest, when you get saved, there's some that would teach tonight, if you get saved and live your life for God, that everything will be sunshine and blue skies and rainbows. Amen. The birds always be singing. The sun always be out. There'll always be a warm breeze across your brow. And then if you just get saved, God will make sure the rest of your days are lived out in goodness. Amen. Can I tell you tonight? Amen. Many be the trials and the afflictions of the redeemed tonight. Just cause you're saved don't mean hardships ain't going to come. In fact, there's almost there in fact is guarantees and promises. Amen. That to the godly tonight, we're going to be faced with evil days. Paul said, amen, make sure you're walking in the armor of God and standing in the strength and the might of the Lord so that you can stand and withstand. Where? When? In the evil day. The evil days are coming, my friend. That Lazarus was acquainted with them. Went on this side. He lived on the other side. He lived, amen, a completely different life than that of the rich man. And thank God when he left this realm and left this this place, and we know as time and as earth and his life, amen, thank God when he went from here to there, amen, he had the testimony that in eternity he was on the other side. Now I want to tell you tonight, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how your heart's been broken. I don't know the betrayals and the setbacks and the ways that you've been trying to catch up and get ahead. And it just seemed like maybe you can't. But I want to tell you tonight, amen, we are headed to the other side. Amen, it gets better farther on. It gets better on the other side. And we leave all of this behind. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And we're leaving this realm and we're going to eternity, and forever we're going to be on the other side. the other side. I'm glad we're going to the other side. And as Jesus said to his disciples, amen, and at his command they obey, get in the boat and go and sail and journey to the other side. Amen. In that journey there was a storm and there were fears and there was the threat of impending death and destruction. When the master said you're going the other side, it didn't matter what storm came in their way. Amen. Listen, they made it to the other side. And church, we're going to make it to the other side, no matter what we face between here and there. The other side. I hope that's making sense tonight. The other side. I'm glad tonight you say, what is the other side? It's a place of paradise. Amen. It's a place of paradise. I don't know how all of this works. I heard Brother Raines preach it years ago. Tree of life. Amen. That it was placed in Abraham's bosom and all of that. I don't understand all that. Amen. I remember him preaching at me going, wow. He got talking about paradise. What paradise is it? And the joys, when you think of the word paradise, that just rings the tune that in that place there is no trouble. Paradise. Amen. A place where there are no more worries. Paradise tonight is a place that just resonates in our heart as a place we would desire to be. Paradise. It's a place of paradise. It's a place. Thank God this other side, it's a place of the presence of God. Abraham is there, but there's more than Abraham. Abraham being the father of faith and that man that God counted his faith as righteousness unto him is a reminder that the presence of the Lord is in this place on the other side. Can I tell you tonight, heaven is going to be paradise. And heaven is going to be where the presence of our Lord is. John already got to see it in the Holy Ghost. And he said when the heavens opened and the trump sounded and he turned, he was called up. Amen. And when he got there, the very first thing he saw was a throne and his Savior sat on the throne and the elders worshipped in the presence of the Lord. That's the other side. That's the other side. Amen. No more problems. No more pains. No. Amen. No more betrayals. No more disappointments. No more bad news. Place, my friend, of the other side. And I'm glad tonight I've got the hope as though, amen, as though I'm already there positionally in Jesus. Amen. My grandparents used to sing the old song. Amen. That I'm already on the other side just waiting for my body to get there. Amen. And that's what it is tonight. That's how sure heaven is. That is how sure the other side is tonight. It is a guarantee that though in this earth there is a literal definite dividing line between sinner and saint, the believer and the lost, the unbeliever, the child of God and the child of the devil. There is a definitive line that separates us right now tonight. There'll be an eternal definitive line that separates us. And while they're burning in the eternal flames of hell, every one of God's children will be on the other side. Amen. Let me give you a few things about the other side from this text. Amen. Or I'm not going to hit my mark. Amen. Of a little after 7. Everybody with me? Amen. Number one, it's simple now tonight. I preach simple all day. Amen. Come back Wednesday night, Brother Thornsley. He'll wax elegant in theology and all sorts of ologies. Amen. Amen. We'll catch up on something deep, but that's just how the Lord's led us today. Let me say this, number one, the other side. I want to say number one about Lazarus and you and me. Amen. I want to say he was shouldered to the other side. He was shouldered to the other side. Amen. The Bible said, and it came to pass. I'm about to run all the way to the house. I'm glad it's just across the parking lot. That the beggar died. Lazarus died. Lazarus drew his last breath. We don't know what it is that killed him. Where is it? Was it some sort of disease? Was it a heart attack or a stroke? Did he suffer in agony? Or maybe like Brother Joe 2 weeks ago, just laying down one night and physically went to sleep and just went on into eternity. Amen. Peacefully resting upon his bed. We don't know what it was, but he did die. Notice what the Bible said. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's why I say tonight he was shouldered to the other side. He spent his days, my friend, making one weary step after another. He spent the days of his life graveling and begging upon his knees, depending upon my friend, men to care for him and to help him bear the load he himself could not bear. He was absolutely dependent upon the generosity and the giving and the shouldering of his burden of being borne on the backs of everybody else. He carried burdens in his life. He had, my friend, weights upon his life. When he drew his last breath, that was the last step of a load he would ever have to carry again. Or the Bible said, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That word carried, it means this. It means to bear off. Amen. To lift up and to bear off. It means, I like this, to be escorted or to be transported. Amen. You say, preacher, how's a man get to the other side? Amen. All I know is that whatever it is we face in this life, and whatever it is, it brings us nigh unto the valley of the shadow of death. When death comes, thank God, we leave all our burdens behind. We drop every load we've ever carried, and those miles we've walked and journeyed in this life, thank God, will be ended, and we'll be carried into the presence of the Lord. Amen. That speaks of grace. That speaks of mercy. That speaks of God's divine plan. And thank God, when we draw our last breath, we'll leave all our burdens behind. Amen. I'm glad we're headed to the other side. Amen. I ain't got to walk in. I just got to be faithful unto death. And the Lord's going to take care of it all the rest of the way. When Stephen was being stoned in the hour, in the moments, the seconds of his death, he looked up and said, I see Jesus standing. When Stephen, my friend, the Bible said, just laid down and went to sleep. Oh, I don't know if it was angels. It was angels in Lazarus dispensation time. Y'all know I'm no hyper dispensationalist. Amen. I understand there's dispensations. I evidently in Lazarus' day it was angels that escorted men into the presence of paradise. I don't know if it'll be an angel that carries us there or not, but I know this and I believe this. Amen. We'll be shouldered all the same, be it on the, amen, on the literal grace and goodness of God will lift us. Maybe it'll be the Savior. That's what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me and I'll fear no evil. Ain't you glad tonight that we have a hope tonight about the other side? We'll be shouldered to the other side. By the way, let me just show you the reality of that this evening. How many days has he shouldered you already? How many days, how many problems has he already shouldered you through? How many days has he picked you up? Hallelujah. Carried you. How many days you thought, I can't take one more step, much less all the miles that are left in my journey, only to find that the grace of God was helping shoulder your life and your burdens all along the way. It'll be no different in your death, in your hour of departure from this realm into eternity to the other side. Thank God, we will be shouldered, we'll be shouldered into the other side. Transported, escorted. Amen. I want to say that journey for Lazarus and you and me, it was sweet. Can you imagine being shouldered? He'd never been escorted anywhere before other than out the door. His kind wasn't welcome in certain places. Are y'all listening? Can you imagine what it was that by the grace of God, he was shouldered in the other side. Oh, how sweet that must have been. And the journey was sweet and the journey was swift. It didn't take him 6 months to find his way. He wasn't in some spooky-dooky realm of in between life and death and eternity. Oh no, to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. And thank God, it'll be a swift journey. It'll be a safe journey. I'm glad, thank God, none of God's children's lost between this realm and the other side. Amen. It was a journey that was spiritual. Can you imagine what it was like that moment that Lazarus left this carnal, temporal, earthly realm and entered into the spiritual realm known as the other side? It'll be a spiritual journey, thank God, that'll carry us home. I'm glad tonight, thank God, in this world and the news and all that is in this side. And thank God, one of these days, other than trusting Jesus and what he said, we don't know the way home. We don't know where heaven is. Amen. Oh, you ain't going to find it on Apple Maps and in your GPS. Ain't a Google pen. Thank God, that'll get you there. When you draw your last breath and you enter and you are on your journey to the other side, I'm glad, thank God, we'll be shouldered all the way, escorted by the grace of God, shouldered to the other side. Number two, let me say this, he was satisfied on the other side. He's not only shouldered to the other side, but he's satisfied on the other side. We know the story. We've heard it preached 1,000 times. At the rich man in hell lift up his eyes, being in torment, having thirst, not just in his tongue, but in his very soul, desired for one drop of water off the finger of the man that he knew as the beggar, Lazarus. Abraham's reminder to him, son, in thy lifetime, thou receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus his evil things. Oh, notice what the Bible said about the other side. Don't miss it now. Amen. We've heard 1,000 messages on the torment of the rich man. Will you look at the other side for a moment? But now he is comforted. He didn't say he was comforted. He didn't say would be comforted, because on the other side, it's always now. On the other side, it's always now. He said, but now he is comforted. The word comforted gives the idea, the meaning. Listen to this. It means to console. Here's a man that lived the days of his life, however many there were, filled with evil things, filled with tears, filled with disappointments, filled with setbacks, filled with his heart busted wide open, filled with days of him holding his own guts in his hand. Now on the other side, there is a consolation. There is a comfort given to him that only God in eternity can give a man. Amen. Amen. All those days he wondered, is it ever going to get any better? Now on the other side, it's all better. Now on the other side, he has everything that he ever asked God for. Everything he prayed, and it seemed like that God had never answered. Now there's an answer. Now there's a comfort, and now there's a consolation. Word comforted means to console. I like this. It means to encourage. Nobody ever encouraged him on the other side. Let's be honest, how we treat poor beggar people in our society. Go get a job, man. And we're right to a degree. Amen. We look down upon them with no comfort, no encouragement, amen, other than the kick in the backside that we want to give them to go find a job. But this man on the other side, the moment he stepped on the other side, Abraham said, now is he comforted. Wonder what that must have felt like to finally get some encouragement. Wonder what that must have felt like to feel the eternal consolation of the grace of God upon his life. We know it by measure on this side. We know, amen, the grace of God is sufficient for our every need. We know what it is to be comforted with the same comfort wherewith we're comforted. We know what it is sometimes to have peace that passes all understanding, a rest and a comfort that we can't even quite put into words. But I just believe this tonight. We ain't seen nothing like what we're going to know on the other side. Amen. Now is he comforted. It implies a consolation and an encouragement that has absolutely satisfied his soul. Amen. And I say tonight, I'm satisfied with Jesus tonight. I am. If I'm really being transparent, there are times I'm disappointed in him. Amen. There are times I feel like he's let me down. Been times even in recent days I've looked up to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm mad. Lord, I don't understand this. Are you listening? Amen. Y'all pray for me. Some of you holier nows, you don't ever feel that way. You pray for me and most of the rest of us. There's days, and I'm telling you, I'm satisfied with him, but there are days I'm not satisfied with how the situation is. Amen. Can I tell you, on the other side, there'll be no more disappointments. By the way, when I say I've been disappointed, I don't mean to blame him. It ain't his fault. It's my fault I'm disappointed. Well, you know, you ought not be that way. That's not very spiritual. I know that, dummy. I know that. So don't rebuke me. Don't rebuke me at the door. Just say, hey, I'm praying for you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you on the other side, there won't be a lack for anything. On the other side, it's going to be consolation and encouragement. Amen. Somebody said, when I get the other side, I'm going to ask the Lord. I'm going to ask him. I almost preached on it this evening out of John 16 again. Amen. I've heard people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord about this. I'm going to ask him why this happened and why that happened. And that's never settled well. I don't know why, Brother Thorns, I've never seen this before. Before now, I saw it this afternoon. Jesus said in John 16, about the day when he comes again, he said, in that day, ye will ask me nothing. Why? Why when we spend our days on this side saying, I got to ask God why this happened? Why do we spin our wheels saying, when I get to the Lord, me and him's going to have a talk asking about why he allowed this to come in my life? But Jesus said in that day, you're not going to ask him anything. Oh, praise God. You know why? Mary, because on the other side, none of that matters. There's an encouragement and a consolation that is satisfied our soul, whereby we're satisfied not to know the answer. We're satisfied not to even think about all the things we faced on this side, as they'll not be worthy to be compared to the joy and the satisfaction that awaits us on the other side. Amen. What a day that's going to be. What a day, thank God, when our soul, amen, feels what it's always longed to feel. Amen. Without ever feeling another heartache, without ever feeling a warm tear run off their cheek, without another sleepless night, our soul will be satisfied on the other side. Glory to God. Y'all going to preach me to death. Amen. I'd have been done 3 minutes ago. Y'all wouldn't preach me so hard. Satisfied on the other side. Oh, he'd be satisfied with the rest of the other side. Rest, no more labors. I didn't say no more service, just no more labors. Amen. Our labor on the other side won't be labor anymore. We'll just be satisfied with the rest that remains to the children of God. Satisfied with the resources. Amen. On the hell side, the torment side, a rich man couldn't even buy if he had the money. There wasn't even one drop of water to cool his tongue. But on the other side, go read what John said. He saw about a crystal sea, and he saw a river running through the midst of the New Jerusalem. Oh, thank God, and a fountain of life. Amen. Oh, on the other side, we'll be satisfied with every resource God has prepared for us. Satisfied with rest, satisfied with the resources, satisfied with the residence. I mean, you think about hell and the rich man being there. The indication maybe is this: as far as measuring himself with society, he's a pretty good old boy. But he's sharing hellfire and damnation and the wrath of God with sodomites and rapists and murderers and vilest of men as ever have been, where they gnash on one another with their teeth. But on the other side, there's a man who once was a beggar, that's now wearing the royal garments as though he is a prince, as though, my friend, he had the wealth of all of heaven at his very disposal. A man who had the whole path, many mansions in glory, one being his very own, and Jesus would give to him. Are you listening tonight? I'm talking about a man that would be satisfied with the thought that he is living among the likes of men like Abraham, David, Moses. Are you listening? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You don't know those names. You call them by their Babylon names, but I call them by their God-given names. Amen. Men like Jeremiah and Isaiah, and the saints of old that may have had blunders and failures and lack of faith in their life, but they are the blood poured and the redeemed of Almighty God. And now, my friend, he is satisfied, looking around in the great throng and the great multitude, satisfied with the residence that he has there, satisfied with the rewards, crowns that will be given. Oh, what satisfaction there must be knowing when we get to the other side, our labor. Y'all pray for me. I'm struggling with this. In recent days, I know I ought not be. Gerald, I know I ought not be. There's days lately I get feeling a little weary and well-doing. There's days on this side doesn't feel like it's worth it. Amen. But I just believe by faith when we get the other side, we'll be satisfied if
we can just hear the Savior say, well done. It'll be worth it all. He was shouldered to the other side. He was satisfied on the other side. Let me just say quickly, I'm done. He was secured on the other side. Say, what do you mean, Abraham? I preached on the great gulf fixed and preach about that rich man being separated from the Lord and Lazarus and Abraham. That's what Abraham said. He said, even if I was willing to send Lazarus, he couldn't get there. Because there's a great gulf fixed that you that are there can't come to here, and those that are here can't be thrown out over to there. In other words, I thought about it this way, Brother Riley. This man Lazarus, this child of God on the other side, he's secured on the other side. He can't be kicked out. He won't be kicked out. He can't be run off. I imagine being a beggar, maybe my friend inexperienced in life, being run out of certain places and run off at a certain company. Maybe my friend, he'd sneak in somewhere that somebody would see him or somebody would smell him at, and somebody would snicker and jowl and growl at, say, we can't have the likes of somebody like him ruining the reputation of people like us. Out with him. Get him out. But now Lazarus on the other side has entered a realm and a place, amen, where God is at, where the redeemed of the Lord reside. Oh, my friend, maybe for a moment, because of his life, he thinks, I don't deserve to be here. I'm not worthy to be in such a crowd. Then he hears Abraham say, he cannot pass from here to this. In other words, Abraham is not only telling the rich man, you'll burn forever, he is reminding Lazarus that he is secured for eternity. Never a thought, never a fear of being dismissed again or put out. And I tell you, when we get the other side, there's a lot of places. In fact, this world don't even like us breathing this air. They don't like breathing the same air, amen, that we breathe. If they could, they'd fly us to Mars or some other planet and banish us. Amen, because they hate our guts. Let me tell you something, friend. When we get to the other side, we will enter a place. No, we're not worthy to be there. But by the blood of the Lord Jesus, my place in heaven on the other side has already been paid for. When I got saved, Brother A.L., oh, y'all going to shout right here. Somebody going to pitch babies and bust pews out the floor. Are y'all ready for this? I don't think y'all going to be able to handle what I'm about ready to tell you. When you got saved, God did not give you a payment book. He gave you a receipt.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
He gave me a receipt that said paid in full. Place reserved. Place at the table. Got your own mansion. Looking for you to arrive one of these days. I did not get a payment book. Oh, phooey on this. Hey, man, you get saved. Be careful. You might lose it. How you going to lose something already been paid for? How you going to get back something that's already been secured tonight? Hey, God, on the other side, we are going to be secured. I'm already, amen. They say, oh, you believe in that once saved, always saved. You think you can live any old way you want to live. You come to our church, amen, sit in 5 minutes of any given service, you'll know we don't preach that. Amen. Amen. I tell you what I do believe. I believe Jesus paid it all 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
When he saved me, I got a receipt, not a payment book.
Amen.
He'll keep me saved on this side.
And can you imagine what it's going to be like when you get to heaven and you look around, there's Moses. Yes. And you look and then there's Abraham. Amen. You walk around and you bump in the Apostle Paul. Is there anybody else? I mean, just think about that a minute. You think, no, I don't belong with that crowd. I ain't that good. I ain't done that much for the Lord. And yet I'm telling you, if you're saved and born again, on the other side, every one of God's children is just as secure as any other. You'll never be dismissed. You'll never be put out. You'll never be banished. Jesus Christ will never look at you in eternity and say, out with him. Get her out of here. She's ruining the reputation of all these great men and women. No. Absolutely every loving one of us will get on our knees and sing the new song and say, you are worthy. Because you, the Lamb of God, were slain for our sin, gave your blood to redeem us. Here we are out of every country, every kindred, every nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue, all together in one place, secured by the Lamb of God. Amen. Let me remind you tonight, we headed to the other side. We sung about it on purpose tonight. Now, Riley didn't know what I was preaching. Y'all remember what we started out with? How many of y'all remember? 279. Oh, I want to see him. I asked Brother Riley, I said, what you got on your heart to open up with tonight? He said, 279. I said, that's wonderful. I said, that's amazing because I know what I'm preaching. And we got up and we started this service with, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. The choir sang. I knew what I was preaching, so I cheated a little bit, but I had them sing it anyway. We shall see heaven someday. And I'll live forevermore. They didn't know what I was singing, but they sang as a special tonight. It'll be worth it all when I see the Savior's face. Child of God, I'm telling you tonight, felt like the Lord spoke in my heart this afternoon, said, you remind yourself, big boy, and you remind that church, we're headed to the other side. Amen. I don't know how many more tears I'm going to cry between now and then. Mama, I don't know how much more I can take. How many more nights I'm going to lay there and just weep and cry and pray for children and church members and beg God to meet needs that only He can meet. But I know this, I get the other side. It's going to be worth it all. Here's what I want to do tonight. You ain't got a baby, do you? Mama's got the babies. Papa's got the baby. Amen. Come lead us in. What a day that'll be. Let's end singing that. That'd be okay.
Amen.
Y'all know that song. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, listen, you can be saved tonight. My point in preaching this tonight was to help those of us that are saved. Just remind us. Just to remind you, heaven's a reality. Brother Larry says often, salvation has to be real. That salvation is a reality. I believe that. May I say hell's a reality? We preach that. If you don't get saved, you're really going to go to hell where there's real fire and real torment and real thirst. And real gnashing of teeth, and you'll burn forever and forever and forever. But can I remind you tonight, heaven's a reality. Heaven's real. And if you're saved, we really get
to go.
Amen.
What a day that's going to be. Brother Mike, what a day that's going to be. You may be struggling tonight, child of God. Just keep on best you can. I know it gets hard sometimes. But you just keep on serving the Lord as best you can. It's one of these days it's going to be worth it all. Let's stand together. Riley's going to lead us. Give you my heart tonight. You may want to come pray, child of God. Maybe you need a little bit of help from the Lord in your journey. Maybe you need the Lord to sustain you and strengthen you. You know heaven's real, but you're just doing all you can. Keep your head above the water tonight. Won't you come get some help from the Lord? If all's well in your heart tonight, I want you to lift your voice with joy and victory. Sing this with Brother Riley.